To get his license, Echo Crawfee sought help from the African Advocacy Network, AAN, in San Francisco. The director there is Adubu Traore. He called up Echo when he heard the good news.
Hey, Echo, hey, how you doing? This is Adubu. Yeah, I hope you're doing fine. Hey, congratulations. You know, I heard you got your AB60 license. So please give me a call back. I would like to hear, you know, how we're going to celebrate your success getting this AB60. Looking forward to hearing from you, Echo, and take care and hi to your family there. Bye-bye.
For Traore, it's a success story he's happy about. But getting an AB60 driver's license has been especially hard for people whose country is not on the list. What list? Well, DMV has a list of countries whose nationals are approved to apply for AB60 because their passports have an electronic chip. Many passports don't have that update yet from mostly African countries like Ethiopia, Algeria, Cameroon. So for many of the estimated 26,000 undocumented Africans in California, that's meant going through a longer process and being forced to deal with their consulates, which are often uncooperative. And Traore says on the DMV side, people weren't trained to be sensitive to cases from African clients. They didn't know enough about the specific policies that affected them or their cultures. That's something he and his team are trying to address. Traore came by our studios and I asked him, when did he first find out there was a problem with the implementation of AB60?
We started receiving calls, you know, Africans saying, oh, I went there. And then they said that I cannot have it. You know, after they looked at my passport, they said, no, with such a passport, I cannot have the AB60. And the worst thing was that some of them had already gone through the test. So they're sitting, very excited, I'm going to get a license. And finally, you know, they call them aside and they say, no, you can't get it. And it's all the more frustrating that, you know, they're sitting and they're seeing other people, right, supposedly undocumented, you know, getting, you know, this license. So they're like, what's going on here? And that's why when I talk to people at DMV, I say, we need to be extremely cautious, you know, with this situation, because, you know, when people are frustrated, you try to understand why, you know, this is happening to me. Why me? Is it because of the way I look? Or is it because of where I'm from? Et cetera. And so after a few calls, then people started saying, oh, yeah, I was told that, you know, this is not for Africans. So we started, you know, talking about the issue. Hey, listen, you know, our people are not, you know, being served because DMV, you know, I mean, in a nutshell, says that, you know, oh, they cannot, you know, verify, you know, the reliability, okay, of the passports, you know, issued by some African countries. And to us, you know.
And there's a list.
And then there's a list.
There's a whole list.
Oh, there's a whole list. And then, you know, the first thing we did was to count, you know, how many countries, you know. And then we found after 54, 55 countries in Africa, there were like 30 that were out. So basically, we were like around 60%, you know, about 60% of the African countries whose passports, you know, are not accepted by DMV for whatever reason. So our first reaction was, okay, my God, how did they come up, you know, with this list? So then we asked them, how did you come up with the list? They said, in the phase of preparation, you know, for this AB60 before launching, you know, the project itself, they sent letters, you know, to consulates, you know, in California. So, of course, included African consulates. And we're like, well, oh, yeah, we got very few answers, you know, from African consulates. I said, yeah, of course you're not going to get any answers because African consulates, we don't have African consulates, you know, on the West Coast. You maybe have three or four, right, African consulates general, but all the others are honorary consulates. So, you know, the job is not to process, you know, this kind of thing, you know, that just.
And so the consulates don't really want to help you.
Well, you know, for some countries, yeah. And this is kind of a recurring story. When I talk to members, you know, and maybe not all, I guess, you know, as you may know from any country, you know, we hear as immigrants, some of the guys, you know, are pro-existing government back home, and others are anti-government.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I guess, you know, there's some people that they can serve because, you know, when, you know, they consider that, you know, you on their side, maybe, you know, they will help you.
Oh, she's the daughter of such and such, and his brother is a minister.
Right.
Give it to her.
Right.
So in general, the nationals of these countries are at the mercy of the consulate.
Right.
Does the DMV understand that now?
This is what we've been explaining, you know, to the DMV. And because we've been telling them, you need to look at the background of the people that, you know, we're trying to serve, you know, from this AB60. What brought them, you know, to the U.S.? Some of them are fleeing some type of persecution. Some of them have been traumatized because they were tortured, you know, they were in prison and they, you know, they could barely escape, you know, I mean, with their lives. And are you asking them to go back, you know, to the former torturers, you know, and request, you know, some documents why, you know, these torturers are still looking for them, you know? And we were kind of saying that, no, it doesn't make sense that, you know, there should be a way of finding a solution. If you look at it in a very single, I mean, in a very simple way, everybody that gets into the U.S., whether you entered with inspection, no matter what, the majority of Africans, you know, get into the U.S. with a visa. So they're fingerprinted. And this is like in the international database, right? And then they get here, you know, they go through DHS, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, so which checks everything. So why is DMV trying to reinvent the wheel? Okay, why, you know, there's a database of DHS? Isn't it quite simple, you know, to say, I mean, to contact DHS and then say, we have this person that says that you undergo by this name, so can you allow us or can you help us, you know, double check their identity? It's as simple as that.
Do you feel you're being heard by the DMV and that they're getting it and they are trying to find a solution?
Well, you know, the first step is that we've been meeting with them, right? I think that, you know, this is, to me, you know, I read that, you know, as, you know, their desire, you know, to work with us, you know, in order to reach a solution. And I kept telling them, we're not sitting around, you know, as a community or as a service provider, and they said, oh, DHS is going to come up, you know, with the solution, you know. And I told them, I said, there's a lot of things that you don't know, and we're ready to educate you about that. For instance, you know, you don't know that, you know, there are like sub-regional organizations, you know, that issue common passport for several countries at a time. So instead of taking those countries one by one, why don't you look at, you know, I mean, the entire, you know, sub-regional organization, and that allows you, you know, to handle the issue of 10 countries, you know, at a time.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that, you know, we think is our job, you know, to keep insisting on them. So, you know, requiring meetings and kind of, you know, really making sure that, you know, we keep reminding them that, you know, there is a work that, you know, we need to do together. We're not just sitting around and looking at you working, but
we are
again, yeah, we are part, you know, of the process for finding a solution.
Okay.